The following worship service was broadcast online and recorded live on Easter Sunday, April 12, 2020, with Reverend Jimmy Crishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Greetings, grace, and peace on this Easter Sunday morning, for truly He has risen. Again, greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ. It is good to be with you on this Easter Sunday morning. Today is the day the Lord has made. It's a Resurrection Sunday. It's the celebration of Christ's final victory over all sin, death, and the grave. While the message of Easter may seem simple, it is quite more than meets the eye. It is quite profound in what it says, what it means. For our Savior is risen. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, may we come before you today out of gratitude, out of love, out of devotion. May we set aside the things of the world, our own personal things, and just come before you for a little while to meet you, to have you meet with us, to share in your grace, your love, and mercy. Father, we ask that you would just lead us and guide us, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, and in your love and in your grace, hold each other and lift each other. Father, for whatever we face, for whatever we're going through, you are sufficient. You are our strength and our refuge, our hope. And for that, we can rely, trust, and depend. So, Father, be with us now and let us praise you and worship you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 57 to 65, and chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had never hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God.
Well, it's Easter Sunday, so we've got the story of the resurrection before us, but we have a little bit more than that. And the message title for today is entitled, "Running on Empty." Running on empty. As I look around in the world today, and as I do counseling and face so many other things, I find that a lot of people are running on empty. They've exhausted everything, and we look at sales of things like mood altering and different things like that, and we see that they have increased substantially and dramatically. So as we look at today's society, we see people who are struggling. We see people who are living in fear. They're worried. They're living with addictions. We find in the world today that they're living with uncertainty. And even more difficult than that, maybe, is that they are living without hope. They are living without hope. And that is where we as Christians today need to figure out what our message is. And our message isn't about running on our own strength, and our message isn't about running on our own gifts, talents, and abilities, for all of those are gifts from God. So we're going to talk about running on empty, but I want us to notice a few things in this text this morning that just kind of stand out to me and make things very significant for us. Is the resurrection of Christ, while he is risen, three words, is kind of a short sentence, "he is risen," or a short statement. And it sounds kind of simple. He's risen, Jesus is risen, but it's very profound, it's very deep, and there's a lot there. And I want to share some of those things with you. As we come down through this text, we've got Jesus is crucified. Now, we talked about that last week, about the death on the cross, the payment for our sins. And what we've went into now is Jesus is hanging on this cross dead. And it is the close of the day. It's time to take the body down. And Joseph of Arimathea goes and he gets, and I'm sure he had to pay Pilate, but he goes to get Jesus, to get permission to get the body of Jesus down off of that cross. And he does, and now he goes and he takes Jesus down. The soldiers, of course, would have lowered him down, and he wraps him up in a linen cloth. And we've got Mary and we've got the other Mary. We've got them looking and watching all of this going on. They've been there with Jesus through the whole thing. They've been following the whole thing. They've been looking at the whole thing. Now they're watching all of this take place. Joseph gets the body. He wraps it in a clean cloth. And now he takes it and he puts it in a brand new tomb. There can be no mistake. There was but one body in this tomb, and that was the body of Jesus. It was the only one there. You need to understand sort of how a tomb is made in ancient Israel at that time. It would have been hewn into a solid rock surface. It would have been left with like a table or a bed or a bench in the middle where the body would be laid so that it could be wrapped, so that it could be anointed with the oils and spices and all of those things. So that's all part of what would have been done. Now, they would have taken Jesus in because of the lateness of the day, beginning of the Sabbath. They were not able to get all of that done. You read a little bit more of that that's in the other Gospels. So they take him in, they lay him down, and they roll this stone over the tomb entrance. Now, this stone would have been about 8 feet in diameter and as much as 18 to 24 inches thick. So this stone could have weighed anywhere from a ton to 6 tons. They roll this thing in, and when it gets to the end of its route, it'll actually thrust itself in and seal. This is a monumental project, is closing off these tombs. Now, here's what happened. They did that. He's in there. He's sealed up. The ladies watch that. They're sitting. They know where the tomb is. There's no mistake. They know where the tomb is. They know what the tomb location is, and they leave to go away for their Sabbath. Well, after the Sabbath, days of preparation are over, these scribes and Pharisees go and they tell Pilate, say, hey, I remember when this guy was alive, he said, I'm coming back from the dead. So they said, that was a bad thing. He was an imposter, a charlatan. He was a crook. You know, all of these things they had accused him of. They said, now, we don't want his disciples to go get him out of that tomb. I mean, there's a few thousand pounds of stone that was need to be removed, but I guess enough people. So now they get Pilate to send a guard, which would have been a minimum of 3 men, and they seal the tomb, and they seal it, and they put a signet stamp in that seal that anybody that breaks that seal without Pilate's permission, written permission, that person could be put to death. Those 3 guards were seasoned Roman soldiers. Typically, they were battle-hardened Roman soldiers who had gotten past their prime in being able to do the forced marches, but they were still rugged, strong, tough. But more than anything else, you had to be able to trust them. You did not want people guarding things of value that you did not trust. So they were trusted. They were trusted servants. They were trusted soldiers. Here they are, these rough guys, faced it all, been around, seen it all. So they are entrusted with guarding this tomb. So we have the clock ticks, and it's early on the morning of the first day of the week. And the women are making their way to go to the tomb. And on their way there, an earthquake happens. It's localized. And the earthquake, they find out, is caused by an angel who has come down and who has rolled the stone away. Not only has this angel came down, not only has he rolled the stone away, not only has he caused an earthquake, but he looks like lightning and he's in white raiment, so much so that these battle-hardened Roman soldiers pass out literally. It doesn't mean that they're just, they're afraid. No, it means they were so afraid that they passed out. They're cold turkey, laying on the ground, passed out. And the women are looking at this angel, and you need to understand, the stone wasn't keeping Jesus in. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away so that they may see in. And the angel says to them, I've rolled this stone away, but he's already gone. This has already happened. You didn't get to see it. It happened long ago. But I'm going to roll the stone away, but I got a message for you. I got a message for you. So come on over here and look. He's gone. The tomb is empty. And he tells them, do not be afraid. He has risen. As he said he would, go tell his disciples that he would meet them in Galilee. And they start running off in great excitement. And on their way there, boom, they meet the dead man walking. Can you only imagine? Now, think about it for a minute. I want us to kind of get these ladies' mindsets. Now, they've been through this whole ordeal. These people knew Jesus. They had ate with Jesus. They had talked with Jesus. They had been around Jesus. They had been through this whole ordeal. They had watched him raise the dead. They had watched him cause the blind to see. They had watched him to have the lame walk. They had watched him go through a fake trial, falsely accused. They listened as people chanted out Barabbas instead of Jesus. They watched him beaten. They watched him flogged by the Roman authorities. They had seen his misery. They had watched him go down to Golgotha. They had watched him unable to carry his own cross. They had seen the nails driven in his hands and feet. They had experienced watching their friend, the one whom they loved, the one whom they believed to be the Messiah. They had watched him die on that cross. They had watched the Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. They had watched his blood and water run out on the ground. They had heard his final words. They had saw him take his last breath. They had watched his lifeless body taken down. They had watched his lifeless body wrapped in a linen cloth. They had watched it being laid in a tomb. They had watched this stone to be rolled away. They had watched all of these things. And now to get there on that first day of the week and to find the tomb empty. Now they're remembering that he said this is the way it would be. And while still maybe somewhat afraid, they left with great excitement. They left with this great excitement, and on their way, suddenly, it says, they meet Jesus. Oh, how that must have touched their lives. Oh, how that must have stirred within them. It is true. To have fallen at his feet and to hear him say to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee." What it must have been like for those women who had been through so much, who had been through so many trials, so many ups and downs. What it must have been like to know as they touched those feet, those nail-scarred feet, that indeed Christ was alive. My friends, we can find ourselves running on empty. We can find ourselves exhausted of our own means. We can find ourselves anxious. We can find ourselves depressed. We can find ourselves in addiction. We can find ourselves in all kinds of situations. We can find that we have went as far as we could. But I want to encourage you this morning that on this Easter Sunday and every day after this, we need to learn to run on empty, and that empty is the tomb that is empty of the body of Jesus. We need to rely on the risen Lord. We need to realize, Christians, that we serve a living Lord, not a dead, martyred leader. For you see, all of what the prophets had said, all of what Jesus did, and the cross and the final words that it is finished, all of the work, all of the teachings that Jesus did, it is the empty tomb that proves he was the real deal. Not the fake, not the imposter, but the real deal. The Son of God. The first fruits of the resurrection. And yes, we believe and we receive eternal life and we hope in the resurrection of the body, all of those things. But folks, I've got news for you. That's coming. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about in the journey in which we are on, the journey in which we are a part of. I'm talking about the here and now, this place and this time. I don't know about anybody else, but there are days when I find myself running on empty. There are times when I have nothing more to give. But folks, we don't need to wait till we get there, and I'm guilty of it too. We need to rely on the empty tomb, the risen Lord, to give us strength, to give us hope, to give us purpose, to give us peace, to move within us, to give us what we cannot get on our own. For if we rely on our own strength, we'll run out. If we rely on the strength of the world around us, it'll fail us. But Christ never will. And when we've gone as far as we can go, when we have touched the lives that we can, when we have done that last step, God is with us. He promises to be with us even unto the end of the age. And that, the message of Easter, the message of the empty tomb, is God proves His love, not only for His Son, but for us. God seals it not as Pilate did the tomb of Jesus, but in rolling the stone away to let us see that the words of Jesus are certain and true and that Jesus is alive. That's the message of Easter. He is risen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, the tomb is empty. We serve a risen Savior. And as the old hymn says, He's in the world today. Father, we thank You for the message of Easter, the message of hope, grace, and peace that it brings. And Father, we truly do ask You to touch our lives in a way that we know it is You. And when we find ourselves running on empty, may we truly find You as our supply. May we look into an empty tomb and be reminded that indeed it is empty, for You are risen. Amen. Indeed, Christ the Lord is risen today, and may you now go in grace, peace, and mercy, knowing that the resurrected Lord, the living Savior, Redeemer, lives, and He lives forevermore. Go in grace and peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The preceding worship service was broadcast online and recorded live on Easter Sunday, April 12, 2020, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.